Thank you, Mr. Michaels. We are going to continue on through the full public comment process, and we'll be taking a break shortly thereafter. So with that, we'll move to the open forum. Again, this portion of the meeting is designated for public comment on petitions, proposals, and other items of interest that are not on the agenda. Again, there is a time limit for those that would like to visit with us, and that time limit is 3 minutes. Mr. Michaels will be moderating as well.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We'll hear first from Bill Wakerly.
Madam Chair, members of the Commission, Secretary Roblin, it's a pleasure to be back here with you again. Pleasure to be back in my hometown of Rapid City. It's been a while. You know, several of our corporate sponsors of the coalition have been very adamant about helping us achieve our goal of stocking Lake Oahe. And one of them, the High Plains Coca-Cola Trevor Messenger and his group has provided the collector Coke bottles for those people that they feel have been most directly connected to and to affect the improvement of the fishing on Lake Oahe. So he's instructed me to give them to the commission and the biologists and the management folks that have helped us be successful and hoping to have a long-term solution to the walleye population in Lake Oahe. A special thanks from the coalition to the commissioners and secretary, wildlife management, especially the fishery staff and the biologists, all them young people working so hard out there in the field to make our fisheries as great as they're becoming. Our members up and down Lake Oahe are reporting increased size, increased number, and especially healthy fish. Most of this is attributed to the induction of a gizzard shad as a bait fish in Lake Oahe. It's been very, very successful. The guys out there with the nets right now are reporting that they're getting a lot of gizzard shad, so that means we'll have a lot of food for a while at least. The businesses along Lake Oahe are really excited. Their businesses are up substantially, and most of them have reported to me that this is the best business year they've had in a long, long time, and that's because they're catching big fish. During the walleye throwdown, they caught 56 fish brought in and weighed over 8.5 pounds. And I remember if you caught an 8-pound walleye, it was a big fish in Lake Oahe. So they're healthy and they're doing well. The coalition would also like to maximize the efforts to provide additional RAS facilities, hatchery facilities across the state, and we're willing to work. I talked to the secretary, willing to work with our volunteers and our corporate sponsors to help the commission and secretary any way we can to get the resources that might be required to expand those facilities and make sure that we can have South Dakota the number one walleye fishing destination in the United States. Again, thank you for helping us, and we ask you to provide the staffing with adequate salaries and benefits so we can be competitive with all the states around us, so we can maintain the people, the good quality people that you have out there working for you right now. And would ask you to continue to do large-scale stocking of walleye, sir, and gizzard shad in the lake.
You can wrap up your comment, please, sir. You have 3 minutes.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll hear next from Michael Whalen.
Thanks, sir. My name is Michael Whalen. I'm 73 years old, and spent 48 of those 73 years practicing law, and I'd like to get out of it. And so the best way to get out of it is go fishing and don't take a phone. Nonetheless, I'm here to talk about fish management at Pactola, and I brought some information with me. A little bit of background. My family has fished trout in the Black Hills for over 100 years, 5 generations. My namesake, my great uncle, fly fished Sand Creek in the 1920s. So we, and all of all my brothers, cousins, everyone are trout fishermen. I have also fished in Wyoming, Montana, Idaho, Colorado, and I'm here to tell you that in 2023 and 2024, I have never fished so successfully as I did at Pactola in those years. It was incredible. We have no reason to hang our heads. And I want to thank you for that. And showing on the board there, you will see that much of it has to do with whoever was in charge of management of drought in Pactola. You can see that larger fish. So we're talking about 15 inch or larger, were stocked. And in 2023, 11,322 nice fish. In 2024, 9,632. Talking about 21,000 nice trout were stocked. I had relatives coming in. I needed to change the lock. They were here from South Carolina, from Oklahoma. I brought with me my uncle, who is retired here from Chicago. He's 95. I got a picture of my uncle.
With that
muscle. Heavy Ray. Yeah. It's anyway, he caught about a 3-pounder, and I'll show you here. That's my daughter.
I don't have that other picture.
I think you do.
No, we only took two.
Okay. All right. Ray, wave your hand or something there.
Yeah, sure. 3 minutes here.
Okay. So eager to tell you is that it was a fantastic couple of years. Thank you. And my family, all of us enjoyed it. That brings in dollars, brings in a whole lot of recreation, a lot of fun. But something changed in 2025, and you can see
the 3-minute mark here.
Okay. But there was a change. I don't know how that happened, who is in charge of it, but it is definitely a detriment. I fished this summer, and the fish are smaller, they're fewer, and whatever you were doing, and it was perfection in those 2 years, please return to that, reconsider whatever you have going. Thank you.
Cute. Well, next year from Paul Whelan.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Welcome.
My name's Paul Whelan. I'm Mike's brother, much younger. But I, too, wanted to reflect the experience being born and raised in Rapid City. I've fished since as long as I can remember. The 23 and 24 fishing at Pactola. I know we're talking about Pactola, but kind of want to talk about other places too, but I've never had such a great time fishing during those years. I call the 20 inch year because we were basically catching 18 to 20 inch trout there. And it was just, it was just outstanding. My understanding is from recent conversation with one of the fisheries senior staff is that this program is no longer being pursued. It wasn't, pursued this year, and that they're returning to the much smaller trout. What we want to say is that, not only for the residents in the strong angling community around here for trout, but for the tourists that come in, the larger trout are just a super extraction, a thrill for tourists and residents alike. My understanding is that the larger trout were put in because basically they had a better chance of escaping the pike better than the pactole of sherrier and whatnot. And that the smaller trout basically act as fodder and cannot get away. It's like, if you go back to this program, it's like you're just feeding the northern pike. It's like just, you know, chow time for them, because my understanding is they can't get away from the pike. I asked whether or not in that phone call what the issue was, and basically my understanding is that the 20-inch trout take up too much volume. I know that they grow very quickly, the strain that you have. And if the issue is simply volume and meeting quotas for many of the lakes, small lakes, ponds and whatnot, it seems to me that this really detracts from the quality of fishing that we should have and maintain in the Black Hills. This is not just for the residents, but it's for the tourists as well. The thrill that they get from catching the larger trout just makes it attractive to come here. If everybody's catching these smaller trout, well, that's part of the reason that they, you know, maybe would not come. So I think that the hills stand become much less of an angling experience. And many folks, residents and tourists alike.
Sir, you have reached your 3 minutes.
Okay. Basically, I think it really reduces the angling experience, and perhaps they could stock less places and less of these smaller trout to maintain this really thrilling experience. Done? Thanks.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
And good job.
We'll next hear from Jeff Olson.
Thanks for having me, Madam Chair, Secretary Roebling. Jeff Olson, I'm here just to give a big thanks and maybe an FYI to the Commission on how Region 1 has worked so well with all the conservation groups that I'm part of. And I'm going to just say some first names. I'll start with Chris Hull right here. He works with Sportsmen Against Hunger. John Canta comes to all our meetings. And Chad Switzer, I've been on the phone with him. So helpful in our Sportsman's Hunger program. Black Hills Sportsman Club, we have Lacey and Clint who come from the outdoor campus. Trenton Hafley is our speaker next month. There are speakers a lot. Black Hills Fly Fishers, we have the State of the Fisheries every September at our meeting. And Chris, Jeremy, and Grant are there. And just a quick add, I had the best trout fishing year I've ever had in South Dakota in the Black Hills this year. I was just in their office telling them that. We have great projects going with the fisheries guys. Huge project right now in the works. We've completed great projects. The working relationships are amazing. And I also want to do a big thanks to Kevin Roebling. He comes out, Secretary Roebling comes out every November and addresses our club. So just the cooperation with the Game and Fish and the conservation groups, all the task force we get invited to be part of. I just want to thank you.
Thank you, sir. We'll hear next from Dana Rogers.
Madam Chair, esteemed Commissioner, Secretary Roebling, thanks for the opportunity to speak to you today. My name is Dana Rogers. I'm the Executive Director of the South Dakota Wildlife Federation from Hill City, South Dakota. Wildlife Federation is the largest and oldest conservation group in the state. I just want to hear and be here and kind of echo some of the comments. We're going to sing some praises and say some thank yous because they're certainly well earned. Our Wildlife Federation Youth Conservation Camp of 2025 marked 61 years of our conservation camp at Captain Bob Marshall, just outside Custer State Park. Our team of volunteers could not put on the type of educational programs and experiences for our youth without the Game Fish and Parks educational staff. So Lacey Elrod, Casey, you know, Custer State Park staff, Jeff Edwards, Ron Tietzor, and many, many others provide a lot of great educational opportunities for our youth. We've also had 77 kids this year from six states and even one from Brazil entertain this class and get that great knowledge. So I want to thank those folks. The conservation projects that our kids worked on this year were many. We did beaver dam analogs in the Black Hills. We planted willows, and we also worked cleanup and beaver dam, I guess, mitigation, if you will, with paint and sand on some of the trees here in Rapid Creek. So our kids did a lot of great things. So thanks for staff for that. Great biologists doing great work. That elk count was so close. Great folks. Tom Kirschman came and talked to our director's meeting in May, and he just did a Zoom call with us singing some praises. So great. Thanks for Director Kirschman for doing that. Biologist Andy Lindblom, Trenton Halfley, Andrew Norton, always wonderful giving us information and statistics. We appreciate him. Chad Switzer, John Kant, et cetera. The bison is really the only one thing that I want to talk about. Director Van Meter has been great with communication. I've talked to him about the Custer State Park and the bison permits for a couple of years. So we really appreciate you tweaking that a little bit. I would just, only thing I'm in his ear about and maybe just give a little bit of a seed for you folks. If we looked at the other states, and he is, and he's working on this, and I realize Custer State Park is totally different, and that funding stream needs to maintain itself. But our resident permits being the same price as non-resident permits, I'd really, really encourage you and him to look at some of that. If we had a lower priced resident permit and the preference point fees, I really believe that would increase significantly, and it would rival, you know, maybe not all the way, but, you know, to bighorn sheep and elk and the amount of permittees that residents would be willing to look at if that fee wasn't.
You've reached 3 minutes here, sir.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to talk.
Thank you. We'll next hear from the Antelope Foundation.
Madam Chair, Secretary Roebling, Commissioners, my name is Rob Mahaffey, and I am the board chair for the South Dakota Antelope Foundation. We are a newly founded 501c3, founded in January. We've completed all of our paperwork, and we've already been completing habitat projects. Little history is it was just something that we felt that we, well, I should back up. We are the only second only Antelope Foundation in the entire United States. Arizona leads the charge around since 1993. The work that they do in Arizona is amazing, and they've been a role model and helped us with our mission. Currently, our biggest objective is the removal of woven wire fence. Those projects would not be possible if it wasn't for your private lands biologists. They are able to feed us information as far as landowners who may be skeptical or on the fence, no pun intended, about removing the woven wire to replace it with smooth wire. And that has been amazing for us because sometimes they can't pencil it out with the program dollars that the state offers them to remove that fence. We put together our volunteer list. We go out, we remove that woven wire, we help the landowner. I think we're up to 7 miles as of right now, which may not seem like a lot, but until you've removed 7 miles of woven wire, you won't really actually know. And a couple of times it's just been a couple of us because, as you know, getting volunteers is very difficult. Our mission, though we are a conservation group and not a hunting group, even though most of our board is made up of hunters, our mission is very well tied into your mission as far as the goal of putting more pronghorn antelope back on the landscape. We enjoy being able to opportunity to speak with the biologists, to gather information from them as far as the needs from us. We're not limited to just fence removal. We're also in the educational piece, and we're also available for, let's just say, a sagebrush reintroduction. To back up a little bit further, we are a 9-person board. Jason Stone from Chamberlain, Julie Mahaffey from Rapid City. She got roped into this as my wife, as secretary. Todd Craig, Molly Boyum, who you guys unfortunately poached from us, as she'll be a new naturalist for Game and Fish here at West Campus. Tyler Pickett from Sturgis, Brad Bauer from Fairpoint, South Dakota, is a rancher who has installed a tremendous amount of smooth wire at this point. We're very proud to have him on our board, as along with Corey Begeman, who works at Shields, but he is on there with us as well. So we just wanted to do an introduction. How much time do I have left?
10 seconds.
Oh, 10 plus. Okay, so the other thing that we would like to just kind of throw out there real quick is, at some point, we would really like to be able to sit down to talk about a stakeholders group or a committee that would look at, because the struggle with volunteers is so difficult for us to achieve our goals and for you guys as well. It would be amazing to talk about a program similar to what Utah has, where if you log so many hours of conservation work with registered conservation organizations and the projects are necessity projects, those people, based on hours that are set by the Department of Game and Fish, again, similar to Utah, you would receive a preference point to be applied to a species that you are willing to hunt. This is an effort to get hunters back into giving. I say if we were gardeners, we'd go hungry because we're not very good at reseeding the garden. So something for you guys to consider. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll next hear from Nancy Hilding.
Nancy Hilding, president of Prairie Hills Audubon Society. Will the moderator interrupt me, warn me at 1.5 minutes? I'm going to continue testimony in Mountain Lions. We always ask, and we continue to ask, for the prairie unit to be subdivided. Many states have more than three units. You have Custer State Park, Black Hills, and the Prairie. Wyoming, to our west, has 32 units. So we request that the prairie unit be divided up so that you excise the reservations of Ogallala Sioux Tribe, Rosebud Sioux Tribe, which both have proven breeding populations of mountain lions, and Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe, which has proven resident lions, and Yankton Sioux Tribe, which has unproven alleged breeding and 2015 with two females alleged to be breeding. That these be excised, and you have memorandums of understanding with lots of tribes. You remember the fight about the prairie elk back in March or April. That the you should be cooperating with the tribes when you have large species. A mountain lion that has a 40 square mile, 20 by 20.
You're at 1.5 now.
Yeah, you've got checkerboard properties out there. You've got mixed jurisdiction. You should be cooperating with the tribes who are managing for viable populations when you are not. Okay, so these should be excised, should cooperate with the tribes and come up with harvest limits and different kind of objectives in these subunits. And you should also extract the Custer Gallatin and National Forest. But at any rate, I have to move on because I have limited time. I'm going to send this around to you here, send this off to them. This is an extract from your Mountain Lion Action Plan 2024, and I used one of the wrong versions, and I crossed out the 150 to make it 250. At any rate, excuse me, there's a correction there because I used the wrong version. Okay, so we are pointing out, and this is pointed out in many of the letters that you got, 11 months later, you're violating your action plan. You know, we don't like the action plan. We'd be happy if you used another one, but, you know, you passed it 11 months ago. You have a goal of, in the Black Hills Fire Protection District, of maximizing hunter opportunity for unique hunters.
You've reached 3 minutes, please.
Really? That quick? All right. Sorry. All right, so I'll talk to anybody else about this. I'm going to just say another thing. You're also supposed to minimize regulation complexity, and your proposed regulation is extremely complex. So you're violating two two parts. Sorry for babbling too much. Thanks.
Cute. Is there anyone else present here in person today who wishes to address the commission? Is there anyone present online who wishes to address the commission? If so, please raise your hand. With that, Madam Chair, I turn things back over to you. I believe we can end the open forum portion of this meeting.
Very good. That does end the open forum portion of our meeting. I want to thank everybody who came up to speak to us during both open, during the public hearing and the open forum. It's an emotional topic, and we were able to hear everybody respectively to us and to one another, and I want to thank you for that. At this time, I'm going to take a break. We are going to be at ease for 20 minutes, and then we will come back and take up finalization. So at this time, we'll be at ease for 20 minutes. And we are back live. Welcome back.